lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, if you've been following along with our study of biblical church structure, and you've seen some of the things that we've been discussing, as you can plainly see, Baptists have always been distinctive and controversial. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." This has been a staple of the Baptist church. And once again, we do not hold ourselves out to be better than anyone else. We don't consider ourselves to be a pope or anything like that. But we do go by the Word of God. And the Word of God is to be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, leading us in the right direction. And I believe that when a person gets saved, they have the opportunity of getting into the Word of God and letting God lead and guide them into all truth. Well, we are studying biblical church doctrine, the biblical church structure, and we've looked at some history. Right now, I'd like for us to look at something else, and this is taken from the book, Biblical Church Structure, that's written by Dr. Andy Bloom. And I'm doing this with his permission. I'm taking things from the book, and of course, I'm adding some things. I'm not changing anything that Dr. Bloom has written. I'm looking at it, and we're going through it, and it's biblical. And you and I need to be aware of the fact that God has given us men of God like Dr. Bloom, who's a teacher of the Word of God and a pastor. God has given us these people so that we can learn from His Word, from God's Word. And this is so important for us to understand that God has given us people that has the gift of giving to us what we need from the Word of God. And of course, God is the teacher. He is the one that the Holy Spirit guides and directs us. He will give us and guide us into all truth as we get into the Word. Well, once again, this what we're looking at is taken from the book Biblical Church Structure by Dr. Bloom. And he says this about the church. Every part of the body is important. We do not look at our appendix every day and give it a lot of attention or thought, but let it rupture instead of doing its job, and you will be aware of its need. Well, there are many members in the body, and they are all important. He goes on to say, and he says, this is true of the physical body, and it is true of the local church. Although some parts receive more honor, every part is important. You may be called of God to do janitorial work in your church. If you are called to be a janitor, you would be stepping down to preach, end of quote. And of course, that means that if you've been called to do a certain thing within the local church, that's what you need to be doing. That's what God wants you to do. Sometimes we want to do things on our own instead of listening to the voice of the Lord. Well, let's look at our lesson right now, and I'd like for us to look at order, O-R-D-E-R, order within the local church. And our responsibility is to understand that God wants order in the church. 1 Corinthians talked about that, and we'll see another verse about order as we continue on. But as we look at this, we see God designed the order for His church, the pastor, the deacons, and assembly. Now, that would be the saved people. And as we study this, this booklet, or this book that Dr. Bloom has written, we'll also see about the pastor and deacons. And as we continue our study, I remind you over and over again that this is based upon the Word of God. Well, the reason for God giving the order, this order, the pastor, deacons, and assembly, the reason that God has given that to the church is so the church can concentrate on its mission instead of who is in charge. There should be no argument as who's in charge. And there is no question of who is in charge because God has set the order. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, it says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Well, not only are we as a body of believers, the local church, we are to love each other as the Lord instructs us to do in his word. We are also to submit ourselves to each other. You see, this will include placing ourselves under the authority of a pastor or under the authority of a deacon who has been delegated authority by the pastor. Now, later on, I'm going to speak of the true member of God's church. Well, members of a Bible-believing local church are to concentrate on unity in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Notice that word "together" in that verse. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Increase of the body of Christ, in other words, going out and telling people how to be saved and then putting things in order within that local church. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." Well, Dr. Andy Bloom says this, the world and the spirits working in government agencies are trying to strangle the church every day with either legislation, more immorality, or humanistic teaching. Therefore, we need to listen to the Word of God. In other words, Dr. Bloom is saying, we need to listen to what God has for us. We need to listen not to government. That doesn't mean that we don't, we're not anarchists. We don't go against the government. I mean, we don't raise arms against the government. We listen because God has placed the government here. That is scriptural. But we are to listen to God within the local church and do what God wants us to do within that local church. The government should never dictate to the local church as to how they are to worship, when they are to worship, who they are to worship. The government should never do that. And this is something we should never listen to the government about, as to what God has said. We don't go against what God has said in his word. Now, it's important that we trust the way God has set up the government of the local church. Well, why is that? Well, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." We can't trust even ourselves to do things right. We have to go to the Word of God and let God lead us. You see, we are to proceed to fight the fight God wants us to fight. That doesn't mean that we have to physically fight. As James says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" He's talking about within the church here. "Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?" James chapter 4 and verse 1, see, many times churches are torn apart, not from without, but from within. And this is the way it is with churches. This is the way it is with countries. Countries are torn apart from within, many times not from without. The problem comes from within. We're not to fight one another in the local church. We are to work together to get the job done that God has given us to do as the people of God, the local church. Our battle is not with one another. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, if Satan can keep the house of the local church divided, we will never be able to attack his strongholds. Don't fall into the trap of battling the person next to you. We're not in a battle with that person. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against the devil himself. And once again, the Lord is the one who will rebuke him. We need to ask God to take care of the devil. In other words, keep him away from us so that we can get things done for the Lord, living for him and doing what he wants us to do as a local congregation. Well, there's something called a new commandment that we read of in the Word of God. In fact, John chapter 13 and verse 34 says, Jesus says this. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Well, the new commandment the Lord gave was to love one another. We just read that. When the Lord said, "A new commandment I give unto you," he was actually placing it on the level of the Ten Commandments. And this is John 13, 34, once again, talks about the new commandment. To break the new commandment the Lord gave is just as bad as breaking one of the Ten Commandments. Why can I say that? Why do I say that? It's because Jesus Christ gave the commandment. What is a commandment? He said, "Do it." We're to love one another. And we're to love one another as Jesus said, "As I have loved you." We're to work together with each other, not being in a battle with each other. Many churches are split today because the people got into arguments. Many churches do not exist today because people got into arguments. They came against each other instead of coming against the devil. Well, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." Well, why should each member of the church do the new commandment? We are to love one another as Christ said we are to do. And by loving one another, we show all men that we are his disciples. The Bible tells us that. John 13, 34 again says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And then in verse 35 of John 13, it says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." You want people to know that you're saved? You want people to know that you're a disciple of the Lord, that you're a learner, that you're learning the things of God, that you're a saved person? Well, then you need to love one another. We need to love each other, save people. Let people know that we are saved, first of all, by the love of God, by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we love each other because Jesus said we're supposed to do that, because we are saved and we're on our way to heaven. Well, we have a certain mission to do. Dr. Bloom says every Christian is to evangelize and then edify. That means to teach. We have a mission according to John chapter 17 and verse 18. It says, as thou hast sent me into the world. Now, this is Jesus speaking to the Heavenly Father. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We're going to see next time who them are, and we're going to see what the person in the local church is to be doing. Well, I pray that you are saved and you're on your way to heaven. If not, you need to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Ask him to come into your heart today. You can't go to heaven without him. The Bible teaches us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can't get there by trying to work your way in. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saves us. Get saved today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.